You're listening to Awake, a men's podcast by Fellowship Bible Church. Well, hello and welcome back to another episode of the Awake podcast, where we are continuing our summer series, Behind Closed Doors, a conversation on sex and intimacy in marriage. If you missed last month, we began by having a conversation on laying the biblical foundation for sex, and we're going to be continuing off of that conversation today. But I'm joined, as always, by Sean and our special guest, Bob Fulmer.
What's up, Liam? Happy to be here.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me back. I'm excited to have this conversation. This will be good.
Absolutely. Yeah, we got a ton of good feedback. Keep the feedback coming as far as what you guys think about what we're talking. More questions that we can have in the atrium all the time. So we really appreciate the feedback, men and women. So shout out our female listeners that are out there helping.
Yeah, I loved the different feedback, guys coming up and being like, hey, loved the first episode, really encouraged that we're having this conversation. And then we're like sharing it with their wives. And so it's like, hey, cool, yes, share it with your wives, but also make sure you're having the conversation and not just like pushing it off on us to for them to listen to us as well.
So that's a heavy lift.
Yeah. Yes. Keep giving us the feedback. It's super helpful to know like if we're doing what is helping you grow not only in your faith, but in your marriage and in specifically our topic around sex.
Yeah, definitely helping us out. So yeah, today we're going to get a little super practical. We're talking about those conversations. We are talking about that most guys dread having conversations with their wives about sex. So we are going to ask Bob many, many questions and some insight on how we can navigate that without a brouhaha happening within something like that. So how do we have conversations with our wives about sex when it's up and down and roundabout?
That's a great question, and it is one we all struggle with. Mm. But I'll tell you what, it is so important to have that conversation. And I think it's hard for us to have conversations with our wives about sex because it's so awkward. Mm. Think about it. How much did your parents talk to you guys about sex?
A decent amount.
Not about where the birds and the bees came from or where babies come from. I'm talking about sex.
None that I can remember.
Saying things like penis and vagina to you.
Not much, right?
So we don't have those conversations. We see them on TV. We see things in movies, social media. We talk with our friends about sex. It's all slang. It's all nasty. The older you get, the more perverted the talk can get sometimes, right? So we never have the language to really, how do we have this conversation that's a dirty conversation? Mm-hmm. How do you have that with your wife? So I think it's a very awkward place for most people, men and women, to have that conversation about sex.
Yeah, so awkwardness is one reason why it might be difficult to have the conversation about sex. What are some other reasons why you have seen it is difficult for couples to have a conversation around sex?
I think that when you talk about your sex life with your spouse, you're kind of emotionally hanging out there. Mm. You're going to be talking about things that are personal to you. And again, we don't talk about it a lot. Mm-hmm. So now I'm going to talk about it with you. So you're kind of emotionally vulnerable. And I think another thing that we don't think about too much, maybe we do, but I never did, was trauma. Mm. If there was any sexual trauma that either one of you experienced, that makes talking about it can cause problems, can cause you to remind kind of a PTSD mm-hmm. type of thing can happen. If you think about it, if you've had multiple sex partners, you or your wife had multiple sex partners before your marriage, that can add another layer of making it difficult to talk about sex.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know when Allie and I got married, well, even before marriage, that was a big part of some of our early conversations.
Right.
Because of my past, I didn't want to enter into marriage without her knowing, like, hey, I need you to know this is what my past looked like. Mm-hmm. And any questions on the table for you?
Yes.
Like if we're going to move forward in marriage, I want you to be confident that you know, like, hey, this is my story. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to hide it from you. It's like, I'm not proud of what I did. I'm not proud of the life that I lived apart from Jesus, but I feel like I need you to just be 100% clear on like, hey, this is who I was and what I did.
Yeah.
And that has, I think, set us up well.
Totally. Yeah,
not all relationships or marriages have a husband, you know, who's as in touch with, you know, God and the Lord and his spiritual walk as you. So, you know, there's, I'm sure there are there are some people listening here like, okay, that's great, Liam, but I didn't do those things, sure. Right? Like I am dealing with some emotional vulnerability that I have walls up, that it's mm-hmm. taken me a while to kind of have those conversations. And, yeah. And so that's where kind of you come in, or you've seen it through merge or yeah. even re-engage. Age where these conversations were supposed to happen and didn't happen and are happening. And so kind of when you see, I just know from maybe the way I saw it in my parents' relationships, my own past relationships, to where if the gift of grace wasn't present with my wife, mm-hmm. then I would have just been just beating myself up and thinking, woe is me, you know, right. Look at the shame that I kind of have into mm-hmm. this is my baggage into the relationship, compared to kind of being able to, like you're saying, present to my wife, hey, these are my scars. This is my mm-hmm. past. Can you help kind of free me from this? That way I can have this good, intimate, clean relationship right. with you, because right. I know that, you know, these things will still kind of try to battle us. Yeah. And then being able to just clean slate a relationship yeah, is just yeah. so important. And just, I think about where guys could be, whether if they didn't do that walking into engagement or merge, or mm-hmm. if they still haven't done that, or they're trying to, just how that kind of looks like and praying for those guys, because it's not all so pure yeah. sometimes.
And most of our guys that are listening have been married a lot longer than Sean and I. Mm-hmm. You know, 5 years, like, yeah, whoop-de-doo. I've been married like 15, 30 plus. Yeah. And so I think some of the things that I was thinking about, or where my own personal conflict or communication has been with my wife, it's probably not as relatable for a lot of the guys mm-hmm. listening, because they've been married longer. But I wanted to ask too, like, what is at risk if we avoid having conversations about sex mm-hmm. in our marriages?
Yeah. If you risk, well, you mentioned you had those conversations. Mm-hmm. So what you were building up is emotional intimacy.
Yeah.
You're being fully known, and she still fully loves you.
And it's still awkward.
Yeah. But that's where we want to get to. Yeah. We want to get to where you can have those awkward conversations. You got to have conversations with your wife to where you can feel safe. Mm-hmm. They have to feel safe, and you have to feel safe. Mm-hmm. If you can't talk about sex, that's a red flag that's a topic you don't feel safe. And that's not good communication. So you're going to be lacking in that area. So you want to make sure you can do that. If you don't have that conversation, your sex life is not going to get any better. Mm-hmm. Your marriage isn't going to get any better. Okay. It's really that, it's that basic. If you don't do it, it's not going to get better. Now, here's what I would say to men. We are called as men to kind of lead our families, right? Mm-hmm. We're put in that leadership position. So the health of our marriage is important to us. So sometimes we have to do the hard thing, and God is with us. He doesn't pull us out of difficult situations. He just walks with us through that. So, have the conversation, do the hard thing, step up and have that conversation. Not doing it, you're going to miss a lot of things, because your sex life is not going to get better. Mm-hmm. So we talked about bonding, mm-hmm. Sex. One of the reasons for sex is to have a bonding between two people. You're going to miss out on that bonding yep. with your wife. So that's something that, you know, you're going to miss on all those intimate relationships and having those conversations. And I think it's important just to get the nerve and have that conversation. Yeah. Step up. Let's do it.
And I think a lot of the things that might keep me, or even has been in the back of my mind, like when I'm approaching these conversations, or when Allie and I have like a check-in conversation around sex, yeah. there is absolutely fear involved. Mm-hmm. There is 100% the concerns and insecurities of like, I'm making myself incredibly vulnerable in an right. area that I greatly desire, which is intimacy with my wife. Mm-hmm. If it's asking for more sex, or asking for sex even just that day, mm-hmm. and you face the possibility of rejection from the person who is yeah. supposed to love you the most. Yeah. And that's terrifying.
It is terrifying.
I want to acknowledge that up front. Like, this is not an easy conversation.
No.
And, you know, the moment by moment interactions around the topic of sex are really scary, but even these mm-hmm. kind of bigger conversations of talking yeah. about expectations are daunting, because we're putting our maybe emotional security in the hands of somebody that we trust, and yeah. they can hurt us in yeah, this area, absolutely. Even if they're not intending to.
Yeah. The more you have that conversation, though, the easier the conversation gets. Okay, so Luann and I have been married 42 years. We didn't have that conversation very much at all early on in our marriage. You're eons ahead of where we were. How long have you been married?
5 years in June.
You're eons ahead of where we were. We didn't start having these conversations until we were 25 years into our marriage. Mm-hmm. So we struggled with this topic for 25 years until we started being able to have actually open conversation about it. And the more we're able to talk about it, the easier it gets. Mm-hmm. And now it's not a difficult topic to talk about. It's much easier because we're familiar with that.
Okay, so within those conversations that are happening, what are some common points of conflict that couples would have to navigate around these conversations?
That's a great question. And I think the most important thing I think that we need to understand about each other is our levels of desire, because they're different. Okay. Shanti Feld Hahn and Michael Seistma wrote a book called The Secrets of Sex and Marriage, and it's a fabulous book. I highly recommend that book.
Say the name.
Secrets of Sex and Marriage.
Okay.
And it's Shanti Feld Hahn and Dr. Michael Seistma. And he's a sex therapist. Okay. She's a research person. Mm-hmm. And it's a great book. And one of the things they talk about is what desires for sex the different people have. Okay, so there's three primary desires for sex. One is an initiating desire. The other is a receptive desire. And the other one is called a resistant desire. Mm-hmm. So an initiating desire is most men, 54% of men have this initiating desire. What that means is your wife comes out of the shower with a towel around her and you're like, let's go. Okay. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, okay. Or she bends down to pick up or put gravy on your mashed potatoes and your cleavages and you're like, okay, let's go. It doesn't take much. Okay. Mm-hmm, yeah. That's an initiating desire.
Yeah.
Receptive desire. Most women, I think it's, I wrote it down here. I think it's receptive desire. 76% of women have receptive.
Would fall into that category. Uh-huh,
would fall into that category. And receptive desire is that they're not thinking about sex at all. Mm. It's not even in their, it's not even in front of them. They have no desire. But once they begin to get into the sexual act, start doing things and start thinking about it, their desire actually comes up to the same level as the initiating desire. Now they're all in. They love it and they're enjoying it and they think it's fabulous. They're just not thinking about it. And then resistant desires is you're not thinking about it. You're just not into it. So it's interesting to understand that and to ask your spouse, what are you? Mm-hmm. What are you? Mm-hmm. Are you initiating desire? Are you receptive? Where are we at with this? Because as men, since most men are initiating desires, if our wives aren't having sex with us frequently, we're thinking we're not attractive. Mm-hmm. She doesn't desire me. I'm not desirable anymore. And believe it or not, that's huge. That's a very important thing to men. Mm-hmm. Most women think men just want sex for physical release. That's what they think. That's not true. Mm-hmm. We want to feel desired. Yeah. We want to feel wanted.
Pursued. Yep.
Pursued. Yeah. We love that. As men, that's important to us. Okay. So if you understand that and she understands how you are and why you are, and you understand her, then you won't think, wow, she doesn't find me unattractive. No, she's just not thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And I know that once we start doing things to become sexually active together, she's going to get right up to where I am.
Yeah.
So understanding that and having that open conversation, it's a place kind of to have that conversation. Hey, you know what? We talked about desires today, or I learned about this. I think I'm an initiating desire. Some men are receptive desire. Mm-hmm. Okay. They're not initiating. Some women are initiating desire. They have a higher sex drive than men. You got to have that conversation. Now we know where we are. Okay. Now the landscape is now understood. I'm not going to look at you and think you don't find me attractive. And I'm not going to weaponize sex because that can happen a lot, right? We can weaponize sex. You're not giving me sex. I'm not doing chores around the house for you. Mm-hmm. And it's never spoken. Mm-hmm. It's an unspoken weapon. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen. Well, I'm not going to give you sex because that's all you want. You just want to use me as a sex toy. No, that's not really the truth. You know, and then you have these problems.
Right.
But understanding that desire is really, I think, to me, that is the biggest aha moment probably in my understanding of this entire topic.
Now, is that something that like changes? Have you noticed in your own life or counsel with couples that one of the people in the relationship could fluctuate from the initiating to the receptive or vice versa? Or have you noticed that people tend to be pretty much like, if you're initiating, you're initiating. If you're receptive, you're receptive.
Right. You change.
Okay.
You change. I can speak of personal experience. You change. Mm-hmm. As a young man, I was initiating experience. Mm-hmm. Desire, rather. As an older man, I'm more of the receptive. Mm-hmm. Okay? And Luann's always been receptive. She's still receptive. So that's something where, that's when you have to plan sex.
Gotcha.
And it's so smart, you guys. That's the smartest thing you can do. Just sit down, have a conversation with your wife. What is important to you? Baby, what makes you feel good? What do you like? What do you, not only what do you need, but what do you want out of this? And I want to hear that. You know, we talk about having that conversation. One of the greatest ways to have that conversation is to frame the conversation before you have it.
Okay.
Have you heard that that term before, framing a conversation?
Yeah, in sort of. Conflict, yeah. Yeah. Not necessarily around the topic of sex, though.
Yeah.
You can do it around anything. You're going to fire somebody. You're going to have a conversation with an employee. You're going to, whatever it is, you can frame the conversation. Say, here's what I'm thinking. Our marriage is important to me. The health of our marriage is important to me. And sex is part of that conversation. I would like for us to have a conversation about sex. And I want to hear from you. I want to know what you desire, what you want, what you need. And then I want to tell you the same things for me. Mm-hmm. I want us to have an understanding. And I'd like for us to walk away from this conversation with both of us having a new revived spirit about what we're going to do sexually together, how we're going to improve this part of our marriage. And I want us to come up with one or two things we can both work on to improve that. What do you think of that? Does that sound like a good idea to you?
Man, if I said that to my wife, she would be like, you know, what did you just do with my husband?
Right.
You know what I mean?
She was, right.
Who have you been listening to?
But you know, I'm telling kind of, that sets the guardrails. Mm-hmm. And you're not taking them, you're not surprising them with, hey, dinner was good, let's talk about sex. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? No. Again, another thing we as men need to understand is that we need to connect with our wives emotionally. Mm-hmm. That's how they connect with us. We can connect physically pretty easily, mm-hmm. okay? But women need to connect emotionally. They need to feel cherished and loved and appreciated. We need to make them understand that they are ours. Mm-hmm. They're like, if we had to pick again any woman in the entire planet, any age, any time, we'd pick them. They need to understand and know that. And when they feel like we emotionally are connected, they will connect with you physically. But that means you have to have conversation. That's how they connect. They verbally process. Not all, most women verbally process. So having that conversation that we talked about, framing it, this is what I'm hoping to get out of this. This is my desire. And then having that conversation and truly listening to them, that sets the tone for, I think, making good strides, at least in this part of your marriage.
So desire mismatch being a big common pain point. Yeah. Were there any other kind of common conflict areas or pain points that you could think of for married couples on the topic of sex?
I think trauma, mm-hmm. Couples that have experienced trauma in their childhood growing up or in their, maybe if you're in your second marriage, maybe their first marriage was very difficult. That can be a pain point, and mm-hmm. that can be very difficult. I think if you're not having sex in your marriage or it's not good, sometimes guys will turn to pornography, mm-hmm. and that's just a lie, and it's fake. We need to understand that when you look at pornography, you're getting dopamine hits mm-hmm. off of something that isn't real. And the thing that happens if you look at pornography a lot, you get a lot of dopamine hits, and pretty soon what is normal doesn't do it for you anymore. Mm-hmm. And so it's got to get more perverse and more nasty and more ugly. Well, then what happens when you're having sex with your wife that is, quote, normal? You're having a hard time. Many men have a hard time getting an erection mm-hmm. if they look at too much pornography. This is why those dopamine hits have lied to your brain that this is what it is, and it's not. It's a lie.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I think pornography can have an effect on that. Trauma can have an effect on understanding desires, obviously, is one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were there ones that you think of that I maybe didn't cover?
I mean, those are kind of the big ones. I really think the desire is probably the biggest one.
Yeah.
And especially because most of my interactions with guys on the topic are guys who are newly married.
Right.
and in the younger married season of life.
Yeah.
And so it's like learning and discovering the mismatch of desire or yeah, just learning how to have the conversation about like what's good for you, what's good for me, those yeah. kinds of things that just are awkward and uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I think it's having the language.
Yeah.
Having that language of an initiating desire, a receptive desire, resistant, mm-hmm. and understanding that, then you have words, the language like we talked about earlier, that you can actually have that conversation.
Yeah. I think that is a good way to frame it, because when you can recognize like, hey, my spouse doesn't have, it's not no desire for me.
Right.
It's not an absence of desire.
Exactly.
It's that maybe the ramp up time is a little bit different. It's very similar to when I talk to Allie about finances.
Yes.
Finances are on my mind every day. I'm always thinking about yes. like, how's our budget? You know, what yes. are our accounts look like? And she won't think about it ever
yes.
unless I bring it up. And so in the same way, I think she's kind of the receptive conversation around finance. It's like she gladly yep. will jump in and engage and help and interact on the topic of finances, but
right.
only if I initiate.
Right, right. You know, another thing is body image.
Mm.
We kind of talked about that a little bit, and that can be a problem too. It's funny when we do our Symbis assessment, Save Your Marriage Before It Starts with premarital couples, it talks about red flags. And I can tell you, I would say 90%, maybe more, of every one of those reports, one or both, the man or the woman, one or both, have a problem with their body image.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something? 90% mm-hmm. are not happy with our bodies. Now, why would that be? Why would that be? What do you think?
I don't know. Just comparison, you know?
Yeah.
To
where,
what?
Where we want
are we comparing
to an
other
image
people
of,
we see,
yeah.
social media, just yeah. entertainment
yes.
in general.
Pre-taping, we were just talking about our, yeah. you know, own bodies and where we're at with and things
yeah.
of our own, you know, and that's just with our buddies trying to, you know, now it's trying to be macho for the wife or feel like that
right.
you're, you know, you're strong mm-hmm. and, you know, have these type of capabilities
yeah.
to woo her.
Yeah. So body image can be a real problem. And again, that's something where we are swayed by things out. It's not true.
Mm-hmm.
You look at all these things, those are not true things. Those people online are, you know, they work out all the time, and who knows what their life is like. Mm-hmm. We have no idea what they're going through. Mm-hmm. So you got to be happy and content with what you have. And you are perfect. You're just as God created you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get throughout your entire life. I kind of laugh about this because I've been married, like I said, for a long time. And I feel like I've been married to like 7 different women because my wife has changed. Mm-hmm. Before children, she had a certain body and a certain mental approach to life. After the first kid, her body changed a little bit. Her approach to life was different. And then we had our second kid. Things changed. My jobs changed. I'm a different guy. She's yep. a different woman. And our body types have changed as we get older.
Mm-hmm.
And so you end up having this relationship with really 7 different people. So that's why you always come back to the conversation.
Yep.
Where's our desires at? What do you want? What makes you happy? What is good?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the more you have that, the easier it gets.
Well, like you said, it's just like a pursued versus pressure, right?
Yes.
To constantly feel like I'm pursued by my husband, not the pressures of the world
right.
kind of trying to keep me afloat in our, yeah. in our sexual yeah. marriage.
Right.
So let's say a guy is feeling some hurt, feeling some rejection, feeling mm-hmm. a sense of loss on this topic, or just kind of confused. Like, where should they start? How should they bring this up if they're feeling we are not on the same page mm-hmm. on the topic of sex?
Mm-hmm. I think the best way to do that is to have that conversation by setting up the framing and saying, hey, you know what? We ought to have a check-in on our marriage. And this isn't just about sex. It should mm-hmm. be about everything. You should have a check-in on your marriage frequently, once a month at least, maybe. You should sit down and say, hey, how are we doing? How are we? Not how are you, but how are we doing mm-hmm. as a couple? Because a marriage is a living organism to become one. Now, this is something that has to be kept alive. So you start having those conversations and saying, how are we? And then the topic of sex could be part of that conversation. And just weave it into it. Hey, how are we doing with our kids?
Yep.
How are we doing with finances? How are we doing with sex? You know, how are we doing with our jobs, managing and balancing our time? It's just part of the conversation. If you isolate it and make it, this is the important talk. It's like, you know, if your mom or dad said, hey, I want to have a talk to you, about sex.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It's like, oh no, we got to have that conversation.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
what is he going to say? We don't want that. We want to make this open conversation easier.
Yeah.
Which means you have it about other things. Okay. And then you just make it part of that check-in.
Yeah. And I think that when guys and women as well are starting from a place of feeling hurt or feeling a sense of loss or
right.
some resentment maybe mm-hmm. on this topic, it's really easy to start with your guns out and like, hey, I want to have a conversation, but I'm also ready to protect myself if you come at me with anything too.
Right.
And I think the framing idea helps to disarm both of you, because it starts you from a place of saying, this is where I want to go with you. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to, this is the value, this is the vision, this is the direction.
Right.
I value our marriage. Yes. I value the health of our marriage.
Yes.
Here is one area that I think we really need to focus on in order for us to both get to the marriage that we really want.
Right.
And that's like, okay, I'll put my guns away. Yeah. I'll put my shield down a little bit. Let's have the conversation. But we have to be ready when criticism happens, feedback that we get from the person who loves us the best and knows us the best comes our way. Mm-hmm. I think that's when we're at the most danger of being hurt.
Yeah. And I think we need to approach these conversations with a huge sense of humility and curiosity. Humility and curiosity. Curiosity is so important, you guys. We got to really want to understand, why do you think that way? What do you mean when you say you're not thinking of sex all the time? What does that mean? She can tell you, well, it's not that I don't think about it. I just not, you know, you can actually understand that. How'd you come to that conclusion? Great question. Why do you think that way? How'd you come to that conclusion? Like, be seriously curious as to these things. And with a sense of humility, you're not trying to lord over and win an argument.
Yeah.
You're not going to.
Mm-hmm.
If you win an argument, you lose a relationship. Just remember that. You win arguments, you lose relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need to win. You just want to understand. And so it's coming at it from that sense of humility and grace and being really curious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So kind of what I want to do next with you, Bob, is a little bit different. I want to give you a lot of space and almost kind of set up some case studies for you as if I'm giving you an example of like, hey, here's a guy who's coming to you to talk about an issue on sex in his marriage. And then how would you kind of counsel this guy through these different stages? Mm-hmm. And I know I'm not going to be able to hit like one kind of person that's going to cover every possible issue.
Right.
But I want to kind of give you a couple of different ideas, a couple of different guys, examples, and just kind of talk through like, how would you help them prepare? How would you help them through these conversations? So guy number one, been married, let's say 40 years. So they're a little bit older, gone through life change, gone through kids, gone through career change, maybe at nearing or in retirement. And their wives just have no interest in sex anymore. Whether that's through their own bodies changing or aging, menopausal changes, whatever it might be, their wife just seems to be not interested in sex at all.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you start?
I usually start with people by explaining to them that you can't change other people.
Mm.
You can only do yourself, improve yourself. So we want to make sure that you're in a good place, you're healthy, you're in a good place. The second thing I would say is you need to have a conversation with her. We need to sit down and ask her what's going on. Just like we talked about earlier, you're going to frame this conversation, say, look, our marriage is important to me. Being intimate with you is important to me. It makes me feel like with one with you. I want to bond with you. Sex is a way to kind of keep our marriage running smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not asking for it all the time, but I would love to be able to be intimate with you in that way. What are things I can do to help you become more open to that?
Mm-hmm.
And start the conversation. It really starts with that, to our very first thing we talked about. Mm-hmm. You got to have the conversation. I'd pray about it, and I would come to her in humility, in curiosity. What's going on with you? What's going on? When we were younger, we had sex more frequently. What is happening? I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Not I want to win. I'm going to try to change your. No, I truly just want to know what's going on. And when you come at it with an honest approach and honest curiosity, I think the women will open up.
Mm.
Now you can't, if the other question is, I would ask is, what are you doing? What are you doing to make your wife desire you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you being, does she feel cherished? If she were sitting here and I said, hey, do you feel cherished by your husband? Do you feel like he honors you and protects you and serves you and loves you as Christ loved the church? Mm-hmm. Do you feel that way? He never does anything. He comes home from work, watches sports, plays video games, goes to bed.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't feel loved at all. Why would I want to open up and be with him? Remember, you got to connect first of all, emotionally with her.
Yep.
if you read Song of Solomon, it talks, there's a verse that I can't remember exactly, but it's, he's basically, before he has sex with his bride, he talks about her. You're beautiful. Your eyes are this, your face is your, you know, he talks about her and he doesn't have sex with her until she invites him in. Mm-hmm. So you have to make sure, what are you doing to create an environment where your wife feels safe and comfortable and is desiring of you?
Yeah.
What can you change? Not change them. Yeah. What can you change?
And a couple of things I notice even as you're sharing is that there is a tone that is, it's softer. It's gentle. It's compassionate. There is a posture that is open and also vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And so I think that those are all elements that need to be brought into that conversation too. Because if you come in clearly defensive or geared up for a fight, it's not going to go well.
It's not going to go well. If you come in saying, you don't understand me.
Yeah.
I need this. I need to release. This is my physical. This is what I, you're not doing your duty. The Bible says you're supposed to do that. Mm. You're losing. Yeah. You're done. You're trying to win an argument and you will lose a relationship. She may ultimately say, yeah, okay, fine, whatever.
And 1 Peter 3:7 says you need to live with your wife in an understanding way. And part of that means come from a posture of curiosity with her.
Yes.
Try to seek to understand.
And look inward. Like, what am I doing? What can I do better to love her better? Not because I want sex from her, but just because that's my calling. Mm-hmm. I'm called to love my wife in this way. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how when you begin to do that and you begin to truly cherish her and let her know, you are beautiful to me. You're beautiful to me. You're just saying that because you want to have sex. No, you're beautiful to me. It's amazing how that connection, again, they connect emotionally. Once they have that connection, they feel safe. Things begin to happen or things change. Mm-hmm. Okay. They change. They start moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So guy number two or case study number two, mm-hmm. Let's say late 30s, early 40s, has kids that are very active. Mm-hmm. And so it's not that there's not a lack of love or lack of desire in the relationship, mm-hmm. but busyness has kept them apart mm-hmm. intimately. Yeah. And the strain of work, the strain of kids' needs has led to a distancing between them emotionally and physically. Mm-hmm. Where would you begin the conversation for this guy?
I think for that guy, I would start with, what are your priorities in your life? The first most important thing is Christ. Mm-hmm. How's your relationship with God? How's your relationship with Jesus? Is it good? The second most important thing is your marriage. Are your kids more important, taking a higher position in your things to do list than your marriage? Are you not paying attention to that more than your children? Because if you're all over your children, your jobs, there are so many distractions in this world that we can get caught up in that can separate us in so many ways. Physical intimacy is just one of those things that we're going to have to see a symptom of. Okay. So where are you at in that? And then I would say, I would have again, a conversation with your wife. Hey, I would like to have more physical intimacy with you. Obviously you would too. Let's set up a time. Let's plan a time when we can have sex. Let's schedule it. Get your planner out. What's Wednesday look like?
Yeah,
we got soccer. Okay. Okay. What's Thursday? You know what? Thursday afternoon at lunch is good. Lunch sounds great to me. A nooner, I'm all in. Put me down. Let's schedule it. Should we schedule 12 to 12:30? And she says, best be realistic, 12 to 12:10. You know what I'm saying?
And brutal.
You can have fun. You have fun with this, though. You can start laughing. You should be laughing and having fun with this. Okay, mm-hmm. Let's schedule that time. Let's schedule it. Put it in the planner. If your life is that busy that you need, you're scheduling everything else. Mm-hmm. What's your priorities? If marriage is important to you, and it should be the next most important relationship in your life, second only to Christ, you need to schedule that stuff. And if something comes up, you can't make it. Oh, well, we can't make it. Let's reschedule. Mm-hmm. You just don't forget about it. It's like, no, let's reschedule it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think you just get control of that. You just schedule it.
Okay.
It's not sexy.
No. Well,
you know, but it's real. It's just real.
Yeah. I feel like that idea, I think people could hear that and be like, well, where's the romance? It's like, well, romance isn't the thing you're trying to achieve. It's a healthy marriage.
Right.
And romance might help in some areas of preparing for intimacy emotionally mm-hmm. and physically, mm-hmm. but that's not the end all be all
right.
in and of itself. So,
and you know, with that, Liam, foreplay starts in the morning
mm-hmm.
when you wake up. You're kind to your wife.
Mm-hmm.
You're sweet to her. You do nice things around the house.
Non-sexual touch.
Yep. You do sweet things. You do kind things. You're nice to her. You compliment her on how she looks. You pick up before you leave. I'll drop the kids off today. You don't worry about that. You just start being kind. And again, we're connecting with her. That's romantic to her. Romantic isn't what we see in TV. It's what's real. And what's real is connecting with her emotionally. And you can, she comes home, has a hard day of work. Baby, tell me what went on today. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Now we're connecting. Wow. She's emotionally feeling like you're with me. You are with me. Yes, I am. Absolutely.
And I just think about scheduling, you know, as that would apply to our marriage in a busy season, like scheduling those 10 or 2 or 30 minutes of time, you know.
We're getting real here, folks.
If it doesn't exactly turn out, you know, the way we're thinking, you know, those moments of intimacy or scheduled times of intimacy is like, hey, we didn't do it, but we had a great conversation that like got some really, you know, or just kind of those emotional intimacy. So just scheduling it. Yeah. I feel like I only got a 2-year-old and I feel like we already need to get the calendar kind of pulled out already.
Wait. As he gets older and gets more involved, you have more children, you're going to have to do it. You just, the days of coming home, clearing the table off, throwing all the, you know, the dishes on the floor, throwing your wife on the table and making love to her, that just ain't happening. It's just not going to happen. You don't have time to do that. Mm-hmm. Plus, you'd have to clean up before the kids come home.
I was thinking about a babysitter. I'm like, well, if Liam watched Annika,
send her over.
It's just not going to happen. You know, so let's get real. Let's be realistic and really redefine what is romance. Mm-hmm. And that's a great question to ask your wife. What is romantic to you? Mm-hmm. What is romantic to you? And that'll change. Yeah. It'll change with her. First, it was bringing me flowers, putting on great music, and having candles lit. The next time it might be, hey, just you being available for me to talk to is romantic. Mm-hmm. So redefine that.
You got a third guy?
I got one more guy. And this guy is maybe coming from a little bit of a different place. He has a past of pornography and maybe even a sexual past that has stunted his desire for normal sex with his wife. Mm-hmm. And yet he knows, hey, I want to have a healthy marriage. I know that these things were bad. Maybe they're even in the past a little bit, but like, where would you start in helping somebody kind of reshape, reform, and transform their mind so that they can kind of engage in a healthy way?
Mm-hmm. That's probably the toughest one. Mm-hmm. That's the toughest one. I think it starts with him being closer to Christ. It really does. I think it starts with you having a relationship with the number one most important person in your life and having him reshape and retrain your thinking and be transformed, not of this world, but by transformation of your mind. And so I think that starts with that. Mm-hmm. So being in prayer, I think the pornography has to stop completely.
Yeah, of course.
Cold turkey, done. The Apostle Paul says, flee from sexual immorality. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, hey, it's just not good. Every once in a while, it's fine. No, it's like done. You're done. So that has to be completely done. Depending on where you're at, you might need professional help with that. You may need to see a trained psychologist or social worker who can help you navigate those desires where you're at and kind of bring you back to more of a normal position.
Yep.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of damage done to your brain.
Yeah.
That is you can't change it. You can't fix it.
Well, and I think that there is rewiring that can happen.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
for
your
sure.
pathways can, but like those chemical changes that can go on in your body, those can take a long time to heal.
To come back, right. Yes. So it takes patience and this journey of being healed. Mm-hmm. I think that's really where it starts. It starts with probably professional help and drawing closer to Christ, getting your mind right, and seeing your wife for who she is and the beauty that she is and going through the process. Mm-hmm. It just really is. There's no easy answer to that one. That's, like I said, that's probably the most difficult one because there's damage done to your brain that I'm not trained on how to make that right. Mm-hmm. I know God can do all things.
Yes.
So I think that's where I would kind of point them to getting your faith right, getting some professional help, and having asking your wife to give you grace as you get well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So here's kind of, I guess, a concluding question on this section. Let's say you've had the first conversation. What does follow-up look like? Like, what's a good cadence or rhythm for couples to set for having these kinds of conversations?
Yeah. And I think, Liam, I think that depending on your relationship, it's different for everybody. It's not one size fits all, but I think we talked about framing. You have one or two, you always want to walk away with one or two things we're going to work on. Set a date to follow up. Hey, let's follow up with our marriage. Let's follow up, and not just our sex, but let's talk about, you talk about budgets. Let's talk about our money. Let's have a follow up meeting on how are we doing? How are we? Who are we? Who are we? That's a great question. Who are we? So I think that the follow up is something that needs to be set in advance. When you've had that conversation, set up a time to follow up. How are we doing? Did we do our one or two things? Are we doing better? Do you feel like things are doing, we're doing better? Get her feedback. Set a new goal. Set a time to follow up. It's like anything else. If it's important to you, you'll make sure you do it. If it's not important to you, it doesn't get done.
Yeah.
It just doesn't get done. So it's got to be important.
Your tagline, right? Great marriages don't happen on accident, right?
Yeah.
Or great marriages happen on purpose.
Yeah, right? They happen on purpose. You got to be purposeful, intentional with your marriage. It's a living thing. If you don't water it and feed it, it will die. It will absolutely die. And the sad thing is it doesn't happen. It doesn't like just die. It takes, it's just gradually, it's just this drift, this fade. It's just all of a sudden you realize, you know what? We're not being physically intimate very much. What's going on? We used to love that. That was like something we loved to do. We would laugh, you know, we would have sex and we were laughing and having fun together and being curious. And that's all gone. What has happened to us? Let's have that. Baby, I want that. Let's have that conversation. Talk to me. Where are you at with that? And you'll be surprised how that just will ignite other conversations in other areas, not just sex, other areas that need to be covered. Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. John, any final thoughts from you? Any questions for Bob?
No, I'm, you know, it just, my brain pings. I'm thankful to be, you know, part of this conversation, unless you guys talk. It makes me think about Merge, the Merge classes that you know, plug Merge and how a lot of those conversations are being started there. And then I think about Reengage, you know, and how some of these conversations that didn't happen, or the, you know, when conversations about sex or finances or my walk with Christ or volunteering or whatever it may be aren't happening, then we're in a certain situation. So, you know, I'm sure you've got, you know, stories of success and failures. Yeah. And hey, you know, and I pray that, you know, these don't fall on deaf ears, including my own. And a lot of this stuff was gold. So listen back again or write these things down that, you know, okay, Bob said, you know, kind of say it like this, or Liam. So write this stuff down. I don't really have much of a question other than I just appreciate your insight on this topic and stuff like that. And you'd mentioned about you weren't able to, you know, you're not licensed in the sex world, but that could segue to our next episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Bob, we are grateful for your wisdom and insight coming into this conversation and helping us to have tools to lay out the frame of a conversation in order to start from a joint effort to kind of be on the same team as we're having this conversation. This is something we're trying to battle together and work on together, not something that we're battling against one another
exactly.
on. And so I think the framing idea really is helpful, and we'll kind of lay out that framework in our discussion guide that we send out to you guys as well. So you guys can kind of see like, hey, here's kind of how you prepare for this conversation, as well as a link to the book that you mentioned from Shanti as well.
Yes.
But I want to let you guys know, we're really excited about our next episode, our concluding episode in this series, as we are bringing on a fellow believer, somebody who has been a part of our church and who is a professional licensed sex therapist, Amanda Ammons, who's going to come in and engage in this conversation with us to help us from a professional side of things, but also from the perspective of a woman. Of how do we kind of engage in these conversations? What are some of these pitfalls? How do we move towards health and healing in our marriages, and namely in the area of sex? So I am super excited.
I am too.
I can't wait to have Amanda on. I know that she is getting pumped to be on this episode with us in a month. So be sure to stay tuned. Listen to this episode, listen to last month's episode, and then get ready for what is coming up on the 1st of July.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Guys, thank you so much for being on. Thanks, as Liam. Always, loved getting to engage in these conversations with you. And brothers, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Awake Podcast. We will see you next time.